But 21 days is just as significant for a period of fasting, because there's a guy in the Old Testament called Daniel. Now, Daniel, I mean, many of us know Daniel from, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah, does that story ring bells from kids' church and Sunday school growing up? But amazing man of God. And he was a Jew living in Jerusalem, and this group called the Babylonians came in, and they took Daniel and all of the Jews, and they took them into exile. And they were under Babylonian rule. And while they were under Babylonian rule, it was horrific. They were called to compromise. Daniel and his mates, they changed their names. Some significant thing in their name change from what their name was of Daniel. And then these four friends that you'll be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all name changed. And they were called to compromise in so many different areas while they were in exile. They had to worship the king and not worship the true God. And so throughout their time in exile, they were a people that had to keep hope and stand firm. And so Daniel, early on in the book, he does 10 days of fasting where he only eats like fruit and veg. And it kept him regular. And so he had this fruit and veg diet. And then later on, he's called to compromise even more. And he's pleading for his nation. He's crying out to God in Daniel 9. And then in Daniel 10, he starts to pray this prayer. And he says, "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over." I mean, my first question is, you're a man, and what kind of lotions was he wearing? That's how I read the Bible. I'm like, I want to know, like, he was obviously a metrosexual kind of guy of wearing these lotions. So that's cool. He didn't want to wear lotions. But if you notice, for 3 weeks, that's 21 days, he ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched his lips. For 3 weeks, Daniel fasted. And then he had a vision of God, this phenomenal vision of God. After he said, I'm gonna set this time aside. I'm going to do stuff differently with my calendar. The prayer is going to become my first priority in what I'm going to do. And Daniel was seeking God for a breakthrough. And Daniel and his friends were able to keep hope in a land that they found themselves in, a land that was filled with brokenness, a land that was filled with pain, a land that was filled with compromise. Does that ring any bells? As we journey and walk through this life, through a world that seems so opposite, and we seem so opposite to us. For those of you that are following Jesus in the world, in this room, when we start to follow Jesus, we start to see it's like everything's upside down. Or maybe we got it the right way up and everything else, I don't know, but everything just seems higgledy-piggledy, and you just see brokenness and you see pain and you see compromise. And here's Daniel saying, "Do you know what? I saw that in the land, and so I turned to God." Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you struggle to connect with God, and it's like, you know, years I've called myself this follower of Jesus. Maybe you're not even a follower of Jesus in the room. Can I challenge you? Give 21 days to God and see what happens. How about you give these next 21 days to God, and we're going to unpack over these next 3 weeks what that actually means. You could give 21 days to God. Out of however many days you have on this earth, 21, let's give them to God. And let's see what he can do. Maybe you're good, but maybe the people around you are struggling. You know, it's God's heart that none should perish. So maybe we need to be praying over these 21 days for the nation of Stratford, for the town of Stratford, for the nation, for your family, that they would have an encounter with God, that after these 21 days and even during these 21 days, we would see something of God move, and he would break into people's lives. How exciting would that be? Don't overwhelm me with your response. It's a tough crowd. Tough crowd. So whatever purpose you decide to pray and fast for, we're going to do it corporately, and we're going to set aside these next 21 days. I keep hitting that home. It's going to be 21 days, and we're not going to talk about the issues we face. We're not going to complain about the issues. We're not going to wonder if things might be different, but we are going to pray first. And that's today's talk title. If you want a title for today, it's Pray First. Now, I have given, we're trying to resource you. As I said last week, these talks are going to be really practical. Usually I preach more inspirational. I want you to go home with Jesus resonating in your heart of who he is and what he can do. And my passion is to preach inspirationally, but I'm going to preach practically over these next 3 weeks. Is that okay? Good. Thank you, three of you. Two more than last time. So I've given you my sermon notes. So you can take these, and I've even left little blank gaps for you to fill in. Little preacher thing that people like to do, just because I can look out and see who's engaging. So there's some pens on the connect point. You might want to go and grab a pen right now so you can fill in the blanks, so you can spot the gaps when I speak my message. You can follow that through. And I want you to keep these. And actually, each week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you something really practical that you can use in these next 7 days. days. So you should have these handouts. What I'm also going to ask is if welcome team and those guys, can you just come forward for me? I'm going to ask you just to help me give out the devotionals. So if you're part of the welcome team and setup team, can you just come forward? I need you just to help me. We have produced, thank you very much. If you can just give those out. These are for you. You want to share them out and just get other people? That'd be fantastic. There should be more than enough for one each. So if you want to share them out around people, so make sure everyone's got one. So we have produced 21-day devotional so we can all together work through this book and use this to inform our prayers. And so can I say thank you? If you give to the church, you're funding other people connecting with God. And so through your offerings, we're able just to give these out. And so you can follow that through day by day and just choose how to connect with God. And there's some devotional stuff in there. There's a Bible verse and some prayers that you can use. And there is also, we have done stacks on a web page. Can we just play, just while those are giving out, Trevor, can we just play on the screen? There should be a website video that we can just play. Is that okay? No, not that one. Not that one. A website, did I upload a website video? No, okay, so if you go onto the website, sorry, I'd done a little video so you could see it, but don't worry. OCCStratford-stratford.org.uk/prayer, you can go on that. No, it's not that one, don't worry. And you can go on there, and there is stacks of resources. So what we've put on there is we've put different guides to help you pray. So you may be like, I don't even know how to pray. Is it like we just stand before God and just start listing stuff off? Well, that's part of it, but there's other stuff that you can engage with, which we're going to unpack this morning. So the website has got loads of resources. If you don't even know the words to pray, on there we've put prayer examples that you can use in your morning, lunchtime, evening, coffee time, when you're on the loo. You want to choose when you want to pray, then we've got a prayer there that you can pray. And so you can connect with that. In there is kids' guides to prayer. We want our kids to be engaging with prayer, so we put together a kid's guide that you can sit down with your kids and just work through and help them develop a plan for prayer. All this stuff that we're going to unpack today. Now, I'm not going to touch too much on fasting. Just feel that this is a prayer season, but for those who feel you want to, we're calling you to fast. There are loads of different types of fast on that website. Again, there is a fasting guide of the different types of fasts that you can do. You can miss meals, you can miss a meal, you can miss 3 days, 40 days. There's all different kinds of biblical examples of fasting. What I would say is if you're in any concern about your health, then either see your doctor or maybe you choose to fast something else. Fasting doesn't have to be food. It could be TV, social media. The big thing for me is this. It's not what you're giving up. It's not what you're fasting that is that important. It's actually what you choose to feast on instead. And so instead of just saying, well, the fasting, I'm giving up this, and it's like, this is going to be a sacrifice, I just got to give it. And all you're thinking about all the 21 days is, I've given this up, and it's like, Jesus, I'm giving it up for you, but stop focusing on the thing you're fasting and start feasting on the word of God. And start to say, I'm going to pray. In those moments when I really want to watch that or I really want to engage with that, then you choose to pray and you choose to feast on God's word. Thankfully, we don't do these 21 days during the Six Nations. That would be demonic. So can I... Sorry, if you're just offended by that, sorry. Sometimes my mouth just goes... You know, every week I go home and I sit at home and say, I shouldn't have said that. Should not. Why did I say that? This is next week, the church is going to be empty because I said something really stupid. But we do significantly, definitely not pray and fast during the Six Nations. So if you've got a Bible, I'd love you to find John chapter 14. We're going to be there in a moment. But while you're finding that, I just want to, just some verses and passages just to give us a bit of context for this series, just that I've been praying through and looking at as we've been starting and prepping for this series. But Ephesians 6:18, it should come up on the screen. So while you're looking for John 14, it says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. See, in my experience, most Christians, we know we should pray. I think I can probably level the room with asking every single person in here, how's your prayer life? Because every single one of us thinks, could probably do it better, could probably do more of it, and we probably struggle to know how to pray in certain situations. But here it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Church, this 21 days, we are going to try and create the habit where we pray first. Pray on all occasions. Not study about prayer, not talk about prayer, but actually pray on all occasions. Before we go into that meeting, before we get in the car, not that it has to be some religious thing where we get, right, everybody, we're going to pray, we're going to seek the Lord, let's just quieten our hearts and pray. It's just praying. It's just part of who we are. On all occasions, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. And then he says, with all kinds of prayers. See, I think the main thing is the struggle we have with prayer is that we don't know how to do it. We struggle with it and we don't know what to pray. That we don't realize there are different types of prayer. See, for me growing up, prayer was I had to. That's what prayer was, a meeting that we went to, usually of all the older people in church, and we'd sit there and it was like quiet and you'd sit in a circle. Sometimes you'd hold hands, which was really awkward. So I don't even know who this person is really, but I'm going to hold your hand. And then you close your eyes and you just, everyone would then be praying. That's what prayer meant. It meant eyes closed, sat in a circle, nice and quiet. And then I don't know how, it's like some unwritten rule in church, but it had to go round in order. And it's like, what happens if we jump and that person, oh no, we're going to go round in order. And everyone would pray in order. And then it would get to me and I'd be like, what? I've run out of stuff to say because you guys have all prayed it. And by the time it got to me, I'm doing the one-eyed prayers. If anyone has been in church for a while, you'd know that you kind of get to that stage where it's like, has the prayer meeting finished yet or not? I'm not sure whether it's finished. So we're going to do some one-eyed prayers as we sit there. Just look around because I don't want anyone to catch me looking with my eyes open, kind of looking bored. So we'll do the one-eye because then I can quickly close just one eye if somebody else looks at me. And then we'll know and we'll all unanimously know when the prayer meeting is finished and the leader can just declare amen. And we all knew when it was. For me, that was prayer. Or it was I had to be on my own and you go into, Christians will know it, you've heard this term, we'll look at it in a minute, the prayer closet. You'd go in your prayer closet and you just start praying in a dark, dank room was my mind of like, I have to get into a closet to pray to God. And for me, that's what prayer meant. But here, Paul says, it's not a dull prayer meeting. It's not necessarily just being on your own. Here, we are called to pray in all occasions with all kinds of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, it says, never stop praying. So if a prayer was purely about a meeting or purely about being in some little dark, dank closet, how can we obey the word of God that says never stop praying? Because I can't always be in a prayer meeting and I can't always be in a prayer closet. Word of God says, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Never stop praying. There's an amazing revivalist, some of you all know his name, a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. He was an illiterate plumber from Bradford. Phenomenal. If you remember when Canon Andrew White came here, he owns, his dad I think was PA to Smith Wigglesworth or something like that, and he has Smith Wigglesworth's Bible with notes scribbled in it. Phenomenal ministry and healing, and people were asking him once, because he's got this phenomenal ministry where he saw people healed from cancer and people, the lame stand up and walk and blind eyes see. It was just incredible if you hear any of the stories of Smith Wigglesworth. And they were quizzing him on his prayer life, thinking, you must just pray for hours to have like God using you in that way. And he responded very quickly. He said, I never pray for longer than 20 minutes. And they're all like, oh, can't be true. But he then quickly followed it up and said, yeah, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. I never pray longer than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. See, when we realize prayer is part of who we are, how we live, all the time with all kinds of prayer, our prayer life moves from being an unsatisfying monologue to being a dynamic relationship where we speak to God and God speaks to us. Church, my prayer is this for the next 21 days, that for us, prayer will shift from I have to I get to. I get to pray. I get to speak to God and hear him speak to me. That prayer is not a nicety, it is a necessity. And the sovereign God who has sovereign plans chooses to allow our prayers to be part of that plan. All kinds of prayers in all kinds of situations. So my hope is that in these 21 days, we'll form a habit of prayer. That prayer, and you can fill this in on your cards, that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. That prayer would be our first response, not our last resort. So hopefully you found John 14. Just before we do, we're going to watch a little film, a three-minute clip from a film that has become a little bit of a staple for our church every so often. We dip back into it. So cast your eyes to the screen and enjoy The Wizard of Oz.
Look at that. Look at that. I want to go home.
I am Oz, the great and powerful. Who are you? Who are you?
if you please, I am Dorothy, the small and meek. We've come to ask you.
Silence!
Oh! Oh! Jiminy Cricket!
The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, Tin Man! You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisionous junk!
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor. You see, a while back, we were walking down the yellow brick road, and...
Quiet! And you, Scarecrow, have the effrontery to ask for a brain. You billowing bale of bovine fodder!
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, Your Excellency. Your wizardry.
Enough! And you, lion! Well?
Frightening him like that when he came to you for help.
Silence, whippersnapper. The beneficent Oz has every intention of granting your requests.
What's that? What'd he say? What'd he say?
But first, you must prove yourselves worthy by performing a very small task. Bring me the broomstick of the Witch of the West.
But if we do that, we'll have to kill her to get it.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your requests. Now go.
But what if she kills us first?
I said go!
Great stuff. So you now, if you want to watch that when you get home, you can. If you're scared of it, you can now come back in. Well done. Sorry about that. I'm glad I gave a little pre-warning of the film. So, John 14. It's like a one-show transition from The Wizard of Oz to John 14. Starting in verse 4. John 15. Just one chapter further on. It's always a panic when you look down and think, that's not what the Bible says. Hang on. It's the wrong verse. John 15. It says, abide in me, and I will abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Father God, as we just start these 21 days, we pray first. We ask. Father God, we come before you and we ask. Would your ear hear our prayers? That our prayers through you, Jesus, would be like sweet-smelling incense. Holy Spirit, as we just embark on these 21 days, will you start to stir in us a passion, not just to have to, but we get to. We get to speak to the Creator of all things. Give us a passion deep down within us to connect with you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. See, it's my desire and my belief that we are called to live a supernatural life. That we are called to live a supernatural life that it would be like breathing. That the supernatural life would become so everyday to us that we just call it the normal life, not the supernatural life. That's the reality of, I think, what God has for us. And John 15 reminds us that we can only dream about displaying that kind of fruit, inward and outward, if we first learn what it means to remain in him. So this is the plan for the next 3 weeks. We're giving you really practical stuff. It's not going to be metaphorical, kind of out there. It's practical, feet on the ground, notes every week that you can take away and apply to your prayer life, a devotional that you can use that might form a habit for you. We've got prayer meetings. We've got a prayer website filled with stuff. Really practical stuff. Because I want us to figure out for ourselves what it looks like to remain. Not just to connect with God on a Sunday morning, but to be aware that we have a God who wants to be in relationship with us 24/7. that he longs for us as his children to know him, that our relationship with Jesus is not just a Sunday affair. It's not just about the spiritual times, that prayer is not just about that meeting. And apologies to those people that do only have one eye. I was not mocking you with my one-eyed prayers. It's not just about those prayer meetings or getting into the prayer closet. Our lives would continually remain in him, just like the branch of a tree. Because you see, a branch of a tree can only continue to grow and bear fruit if it's attached to the trunk. You chop a branch off, and what does it do? It withers and it dies. And it's the same for us in being in Jesus. Jesus says the same applies to us. If we remain in him and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. See, if we learn what it means to remain in Jesus, our businesses will work better. Our marriages will work better. Our families will work better because we're learning what it is to remain in him, because outside of him, nothing happens. Nothing of any significance, nothing that can last, nothing outside of him works. So how do we learn to remain in him? How do we learn to be a remaining kind of people? 4 points. The first is this, the priority of prayer. You can fill that in on your sheets. The priority of prayer. See, we all have priorities in our life, spoken and unspoken. You might think, I don't really prioritize. I just wake up and I just exist. Well, you've got priorities in your life. The way we live our lives reveals our priorities. You might think you don't have priorities. A simple way, let me see your bank statement and your diary. I can tell you your priorities probably from those two things. Because our priorities reveal what's important. See, I look at my parenting. Even this morning, even after yesterday where I got angry with my kids and I'm like, do you know what? I reflect back and I think, priorities. So often I prioritize obedience. Obedience is important, not knocking it. But sometimes that's the priority in my relationship with my kids. You just need to do what I've asked you to do because we're in a rush and we're running late. And obedience becomes the priority. But I wonder what it could look like if I said, well, actually, obedience is really important, but I want to prioritize a relationship. That in those moments of disobedience, relationship is my priority with my kids. And so therefore, I act differently around that disobedience. See how priorities shape how we act. My kids are being disobedient. Disobedience is a priority. I get angry with the kids because they're not doing what I've asked them to do when I've asked them to do it. So our priorities start to shape how we live. Paul writes this to the young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Paul is writing a really practical letter to this leader of a church, and he's saying, right, going to give you some instructions on worship now and how we're going to work church. First of all, there's all these different types of prayer. First of all, we're going to be a people who pray. The very first thing, the prayer will be my first response, not my last resort. Practically for me, that means when I wake up, prayer is the first thing that I do. Prayer is my first response, not my last resort. And I struggled because these devices are great, but they kind of, you're drawn to them, aren't you? These phone devices. And I have mine next to my bed, charging throughout the night. And every morning I wake up and I lean over and I get my phone. And what would happen was I would go on there and I'd be like, right, I'd convince myself it was spiritual because I'm like, I'm following really godly leaders on Twitter. So let's just see what those godly leaders are tweeting. Oh, I like that. Retweet. And then I go on Instagram. It's like, but I'm following like Christians, and it's like, oh, look, they're just doing life with God. It's fantastic. And then I go on Facebook and I just want to connect with people. I might pray about them, think about praying about them as I flick through Facebook. But what happened was, and this was for me, I'm not trying to put this on you. You've got to figure out your way of connecting. But for me, the phone became a struggle. And for months, I tried to not pick up my phone for the first thing. I was like, God, I'm just going to come to you in prayer. And I'm going to lie there. One of my favorite postures in prayer. Cara's fast asleep. She's like having a dream from Jesus, hopefully. But I'm being spiritual and I'm praying. And she's in here this morning, so I've got to be careful what I say. So I'm there praying at early hours. It's still dark. The house is snoring. Then they're not spiritual. I'm spiritual, praying. And I was like, I'm going to put my phone down. I'm not going to pick up my phone. But then after like 3 minutes, I'd be just like, oh, what's my phone? And I'd be lost in it for like the next hour. And I felt God say, why are you battling your phone? I was like, because God, it's not spiritual. It's not. It's like, I want you to be my priority. And he said, but why don't you connect with me through that device? Why doesn't that device not be a curse, but it be a blessing? So for me, this is what I had to do. For me, first thing in the morning, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to delete all of those social media apps off my phone. It's going to come off them. It's what I needed to do for me. Come off those social media apps. And I now connect with God. The first thing I do, and it has become a habit. And it's great because the Bible app that I've got, it like tallies up the days you're doing and the weeks you're connecting with God. And I've got some bookmarked Bible promises in there. And I they're the first thing I go to. Every morning, the same things, these promises in God's word. And I use them to inform my prayers. So I start to say, God, you've said you've got a plan and a hope and a future for me. In the midst of the exile, these Israelites found themselves in, you declare promise. Lord, I thank you that it, for me, you declare a promise. That's who you are. God, help me to live in light of that today. And so I ask myself four questions when I connect with God first thing in the morning. And if you go onto our OCC-Stratford/prayer website, on there is loads of different guides. And one of those is a prayer guide for using scripture. And I've got all of that in here. But these are the four questions I ask myself every morning when I read any passage of scripture. I say, what's this passage saying about God? What has God done? In other words, how does this reveal who God is? Who am I in the light of this? And how should I live? And I ask myself those four questions and it informs my prayers. So I say, God, whatever the passage is, God, this is who you are. Not what my experience tells me, but this is who you are. God, you're all powerful, you're sovereign, you sustain me. In you I live and move and have my being, not in my bank account. God, I thank you that it's about you. Oh, help me to live today trusting you when everything around me is saying I can't. See how scripture starts to inform our prayer life. So I'd encourage you, get online and look at how we can use scripture to inform our prayer life. I do that pretty much every morning, and it becomes the priority of my day. And the priority of my day becomes the priority of my months, and the priority of my months becomes the priority of my years, and the priority of my years then becomes the priority of my life. One step at a time, and then we look back and we see, wow, God, look what you've done. When we choose to pray first and set prayer as our priority. I want to encourage you, you don't have to do what I'm doing. I'm just giving you some practical stuff for you to go away and say, okay, let's think about how this can work for me. How can this work for me? So we've got the priority of prayer. The second is this, the place of prayer. Now, I've already mentioned this prayer closet, that many Christians have this jargon of, we're just going to go into my prayer closet. And if you've got a prayer closet and it is a closet, fantastic. Enjoy it. Yeah, the water closet, absolutely. But if that's where you pray, I mean, I pray in the throne room. Sat on the toilet. It's the only quiet room where I can lock the door. So that's, for me, sometimes I said to Cara, I'm going to the toilet, and the reality is I'm not going to the toilet. I just need to pray. I just need to just read some of God's word, and it's just the house is loud. You've got two young kids, and it's just you need somewhere quiet. So I encourage you to get a physical place, but maybe it's not just about a physical place, but as great as that would be, but it's about a place within us. Let me unpack. Physical place, Matthew 6 says here, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room. This is where this concept of going into the closet was. And shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. So if we were to literally translate that to say, every time I pray, I've got to go into a room, then we'd be contradicting other scriptures that say, never stop praying. And so there's something more at play here. And I want to suggest that, yes, it's about a physical place. And I encourage you, get a physical place where you can pray. Find a place. For me, it's lay down on my bed first thing in the morning. I love that place. Why do we have to punish ourselves? I'm lay here. I'm like, this is comfy. God, I want to pray to you. So that's one of my places. Another place that I pray, I've got a bench that overlooks some fields between my house and church. About four times a year, I deliberately go via that bench and I just sit there and I pray. I've got a place that I go to. Jesus had a place. Jesus, it says in Mark 1:35, he says, very early in the morning, see, there's the priority again, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. See, many scholars, they believe that this solitary place was, another translation say certain place, that it was Gethsemane. That Gethsemane was this place that Jesus would go and pray, not just before he went to the cross, but actually it was his place where he would connect with the Father. And it's this amazing vista of I was going to say of Stratford then, that would be impressive, of Jerusalem as it overlooks, it's down the Kidron Valley and across to Jerusalem. It's an incredible place. And I think it's because he knew that what he would face, he needed a place where he knew he could connect with God. Not just in that place of testing and of pressing, but actually when that moment came, he'd got his place he could run to and know, I can connect with the Father here. I encourage you, get a place, get a chair, whatever it is, get somewhere you can connect with God. But it doesn't have to just be a physical place. We should pray in all occasions, all kinds of prayers. I encourage you, give place in your heart, in your mind. Give a place that you can go to at any time of day, no matter what the circumstances, a place that can become a place of prayer. So it's with you wherever you go. It's your place of prayer. Before you go into that meeting, you pray. Before you respond to that email, you pray. Before you leave the house, you pray. Before your kids leave the house, you pray. Can you imagine if every parent in this room and every grandparent in this room made a commitment to say, when my family, I know they're leaving the house, I'm going to go to that place of prayer. And I'm going to pray, God, I can't be with them, but you can be. So will you help them today and lead and guide? I was with somebody this week who said, our grandchild was struggling and not really wanting to go to church, and we prayed over them, and it shifted. Isn't that amazing? When we commit to say, I'm going to get to that place of prayer and I'm going to come before the Father and I'm going to say, God, I can't be there, but you can. Will you lead and guide them? Will you be with them? Amen. Phenomenal what God does. The plan of prayer is the third. It's got the priority of prayer, the place of prayer, the plan of prayer. Hopefully you're all liking the P's. For some of you, it's like he's properly preaching now. Well, I'm following on last year. If you go on our webpage again, that prayer page, I did 5 sermons, I think, last year for our 40 days of prayer, and every single title began with P, so I'm just following the theme. Can't guarantee it's going to happen next week. I can't figure out a word that begins with P that helps me illustrate stuff, but at the moment, we've got all the P's. The priority of prayer, the plan of prayer, the place of prayer and the plan of prayer. See, when Cara and I started dating, am I right to share this story? Oh, she's not in here. Fantastic. Great. Oh, she's back. when Cara and I started dating, I say started dating, it was the second time we started dating, because we started dating when we were, 14, 15? And then we had about 5 years where we were together. Then we split up for 18 months. It was a God thing. We needed to do some stuff, and it was great. And then we got back together 18 months later. And can I tell you, I had a plan. Never told Cara this, but I had a plan. I was like, I lost her once, I'm not losing her again. So I'm going to do some stuff differently. I'm going to choose to speak to her differently. I'm going to treat her differently. Laughter is going to be part of who we are. We're just going to laugh about stupid things. And I'm going to make sure I've got a plan, because this time I'm not going to lose. Oh, I thought it had gone. This time I'm not going to lose her. I had a plan, because we plan the things that are important to us. Whether it goes according to that plan is beside the point. But we still plan those things that are important to us. You wouldn't think about taking some time off work and go, right, I'm going to book a holiday 2 weeks in August. It's going to be great. And then you jump in the car and you're like, okay, darling, where are we going to go? Mediterranean? Cool, let's go to the Mediterranean. You wouldn't do that. No, you plan your holiday because it's a priority to you. It's important to you. So we plan the things that are important. I want to encourage you, plan your time in prayer. If you don't, don't be surprised if you sit there going, I don't know, and I can't. You just lose it and you can't be bothered, and then it loses its impetus and it loses its passion. And you're just like, after like a couple of days, you're like, what's the point in this? I really can't be bothered. Get a plan in prayer. Luke 11, verse 1 to 2, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Again, he sets a place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So clearly Jesus is praying. I believe he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think he's praying out loud because the disciples are hearing him. And they're like, there's this guy called John the Baptist, and he taught his disciples how to pray. We're seeing Jesus pray here. Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? And Jesus gives this plan of prayer. Again, you can go onto our website, and I've taken the Lord's Prayer, so you can use that as a plan. I use it very regularly, not verbatim, not word for word, but what it's getting at, that plan for prayer, just saying, I'm going to orientate my time with God. I'm going to unpack what that looks like more next week, but I'm going to orientate my time with God, and not even just a solid block of time, but even my day. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to start my day by just declaring just how good God is, who he actually is, that he is God. And then throughout the day, I'm going to be like, God, I've got some stuff that I need you to do for me. Give us today our daily bread. God, I'll get personal, but sometimes I link it in with things. I'm having a shower in the morning. Don't picture that, please. But I'm having a shower in the morning and it becomes, my God, just as I'm washing right now, will you just wash me clean? So it's not always a solid block of time, but they are really important, and God does stuff in those moments, but it's weaving it into your everyday life. God, forgive me my sins as I forgive others who sin against me, as I'm stood in the shower getting washed clean. Thank you that you wash me clean. And it becomes a part of who we are. Actually, the kid's guide to prayer follows the Lord's Prayer. So if you get on our website, the kid's guide to prayer, you can work that through with children. That works really well. And next week, I'm going to give one of the plans that I use most often. and I follow that plan, whether I'm spending a big block of time with God where I can carve out some time just to be praying and seeking him, or it's like a shot, what I call shotgun prayers throughout the day. For me, I use that plan in both situations. I'll bring it to you next week. You can do it in 2 hours or 2 minutes, and it works really, really well for that. But I want to encourage you. These are me giving you the stuff that I use, not for you to copy, but for you to find. I say find a time and a priority in prayer. You might say, you know what? Mornings are the most godless time in our household. If we were to try and make that the priority of our days, we would all fall apart because it's impossible. That's fine. Don't beat yourself up about that. God wants to connect with you. I would encourage you, make prayer the first thing you do when you wake up, even if it's just a 10-second thing. I'd encourage you to do that. But you've got to figure out how this works for you, which is why I'm giving you these notes so you can take them away and say, here's some principles. How can I get that into my life? How can I practically make that work in my life? I need to move on because I've just seen the time. The third one is this, the persons of prayer, plural, persons of prayer. And make sure you do a capital P. Because we're talking about the persons of prayer being the Godhead, being God three in one. Because this week I want to present to you what I'm putting to you is these next 3 points that make up my final point of this talk. So if you turn over, you've got 3 points on your little sheet there. I want you to take these away this week and let this be your plan for the next 7 days and how you connect with God. Whether you believe in who God says he is or not, how about I challenge you these next 7 days, take these next 3 points and use them to inform how you speak to the God that you're dubious about. See what he does. Because I think half the problem is that we have the plan, it's great. We've got the place, we set it as a priority. But we miss the fact that prayer is all about the persons of God. That when we get that deep down inside of us, when we get that we can communicate with God and there's different ways we can communicate with God, when we get that inside of us, something starts to shift. I want to suggest this week, whether it's 2 minutes when you wake up or maybe throughout the day, when you're getting ready in the morning, when you're walking to work, when you're sitting relaxed in the evening, why don't you make that your place of prayer and use these 3 points that I'm about to give you right now as your plan for prayer, the persons of prayer. Because I think the reason a lot of us struggle is in prayer is because we have a misunderstanding, and I'm going to use a theological term now, a squiffy view of who God is. I think we don't get who God is. That we don't get that God is like a musical chord. I won't get my guitar, but imagine a musical chord. So today, I used a lot a chord called G. It is like the standard. It's like the God chord. It's like worship time. We're just going to have a G. Just play G, G, and the Holy Spirit just seems to fall. It's like G. It's just his chord. Maybe it's because it's God, G. I don't know. But G, loads of worship songs are written in G. So I'm playing G, and it's made up of 3 notes. Each of those notes are completely distinct. So my fingers are holding. So if you play G on a piano, you're playing 3 notes to make that chord of G. Each note is its own note, but put together it makes up the chord of G. You see, God is 3 persons. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All 3 of them together are 100% God. God the Father is 100% God. God the Son, Jesus, is 100% God. And God the Holy Spirit is 100% God. Put them together and they make what we call the Trinity. God is one person in 3 distinct natures. He's God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. You take one of those away or you misplay one of those notes in the chord and it makes that whole chord discordant and it makes no sense. And it's the same way with how we connect with God. See, so many of us have a view of God like Dorothy when she encounters the Wizard of Oz. We come before him in prayer and it's like, I am God, the mighty and powerful. I will answer your prayer, but first, you need to go and do this for me. Go and prove your worth. Go and get the broom from the Wicked Witch, kill her, get that sorted, and then I'll make your request known. And it's like we come before God and we're like, God is this mean father on a cloud who's going to smite us. And we've got to get it all right, all the words in the right order, everything sorted. Because otherwise, he's not going to grant us our request. And even if he does, he's probably going to make us have to live in a certain way, do a certain thing, get ourselves morally perfect before he will even answer our requests. And that's our view of who God is. Oh, my prayer is that God would restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, because it messes up our view of God. God, that you would do that. because how we see God determines how we relate to God. So for some of you, I want to introduce you to how the Bible describes our God. Not how you have grown up thinking about him, not how you relate to him in prayer at the moment. And this week, use this, what I'm about to give you, as your plan for engaging with God in prayer. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Welcome to the God that we worship. Welcome to the God that we pray to, the persons of prayer, which is the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. That's who we pray to, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, who has paid the price. So when we come to him in prayer, we can start by saying, "Your grace that makes a way for me to be able to even think about coming to you right now and asking this of you. That you poured out your love. You've not held it back, even though I did that yesterday. Oh, thank you." The amazing grace of Jesus. So often you'll hear people in church and we pray in the name of Jesus. I think the reason for that is because I think scripture says what Jesus is doing for us right now is that he's interceding for us on behalf, interceding to the Father on our behalf. That it's like Jesus is there and he's like, "Father, we're God. And your son down there, my child down there, he's struggling. He's crying out to me and the temptation is too much. And I can know it's too much because I've been there and I felt it. So I know what it feels. So I'm coming to you on his behalf. I'm interceding on his behalf and I'm crying out to you. Hear his request." Because he's crying out and he's struggling in this moment. So Father, we're going to meet him and we're going to connect with him and we're going to help him and empower him to live the life that we're calling him to live. And there I am. I'm just like, "Jesus, I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed by this. In your name, I pray." Hebrews 4 says it like this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just like we are." You see, we get to pray in the amazing grace of Jesus. He doesn't discard you because you're back again with that same old struggle. He's been there. And so when we cry out to him, we can know that he knows and he cares. And it goes on, "Yet he was without sin." Oh, I love it. And so because of that, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's what Jesus is doing every time we pray. It's amazing, isn't it? When we get that revelation of just the amazing grace of Jesus, what it means, how this week when we start our prayers, we can connect relationally with God through the amazing grace of Jesus. The second is this: the extravagant love of the Father. In my experience, a lot of Christians find it very comfortable connecting with God the Father, calling him Lord, calling him Master, calling him King. But you know, of all the recorded prayers of Jesus in the Bible, I did a quick study this week. So if you go away and study it and find another one, great, come and let me know. But in a couple of minutes, I just looked through all of the prayers, 10 plus prayers that are recorded of Jesus praying. Only one of those prayers does he call God by a different name other than Father. He connects with God relationally by calling him Father, that person of the Godhead. Father. Every prayer but one. A Father who is compassionate. This is Psalm 103. "A God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. As far as a father, he has compassion on his children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." What amazing grace we have in Jesus, and what a good Father we can come to as we cry out to him in prayer. Let that be the reason we bring our requests to God, because he is good, not wanting us to perform, not wanting us to do certain things, not wanting us to be kids that don't run on tables. It's fine, let him do it. We don't have to be all together before we cry out to the Father because of his extravagant love, his reckless love that we stand here and we sing about, that will smash down walls, that will climb up mountains to get to us. It's the extravagant love of the Father. That's why I pray that the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the sons. And the third person, probably the most misunderstood person in the Trinity, is like, yeah, we get Jesus, got him, flesh, figured it out. God the Father, got it. Guy in a cloud can figure that one out. But Holy Spirit, it's like he's the weird one. It's like, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, what do we call him? But the Holy Spirit, this passage in 2 Corinthians, it says, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to hear this, that when we've packed everything away today, when the van is loaded and we're leaving, and you go by yourself, you are not on your own. You have got the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, who is God in you, with you, 24/7, whenever you need to cry out. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, closer than a brother, more intimate than lovers, more faithful than a mother, from the song that we used to sing years ago. Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Another counselor, the Greek word there that's used, is one that would come alongside you in a moment of legal difficulty when you struggle to defend yourself. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. When you're sat there and you're like, there's no way I can come before God. Look what I've been involved in. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit draws alongside you and says, I'm your defender. I'm your counselor. I lead that way for you. Do you realize you're never alone? You have an advocate, a counselor, a strengthener. Oh God, I just can't cope. Holy Spirit, will you come to me right now? I can't stand up against this cross-examination from the world, from my flesh, from the enemy. It is true. What they throw at me is absolutely true. I can't stand up. Holy Spirit, will you come and stand up for me? And then he whispers, I'm here. What could happen if for the next 7 days we asked the Holy Spirit to make his presence real to us? That became a priority in prayer, that we would pray about the amazing grace of Jesus, the extravagant love of the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. And we let that become the information that feeds our prayers. That become our plan for our prayers. See, the word so often used in the Hebrew for spirit, it means breath. Breath. Is the Holy Spirit as much a priority to you as the breath that you breathe? Because without him, there is no breath. Without him, there is no way. The very breath that we breathe allows us and sustains us. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Paul commands the believers to be filled with the Spirit. For those that like your grammar, it's written in the present continual. Means be filled right now and continue being filled. So it's not a one-time thing that happened when you became a Christian or when you got baptized in the Spirit or something where you encountered God and it was every single day I'm asking the Holy Spirit, I can't do this on my own. No way can I be who you're calling me to be. I need the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So this week, I want to give you a challenge. Use the back page of these notes to inform your plan for prayer. How about you figure out how you can pray to God and thank the amazing grace of Jesus that you've saved a wretch like me. When I'm about to go into that moment of temptation, remind me the extravagant love of the Father that isn't based on my performance, but the performance of Jesus. And God, I don't even want to go near that stuff. Holy Spirit, you come and be my friend. When I'm with that colleague or that other family member that drives me berserk, I need you to be with me. I need your breath. Because when I breathe on my own, it goes wrong. So the challenge, church, is that prayer would be our first response, not our last resort. So to help us this week, we're doing something equally practical as to what you've already got. And I was going to get some generic wristbands made with pray first written on. I thought, that's a good idea, but plastic and all that kind of stuff. And then I was reminded of Lorraine and Andy, and they've got this ministry that creates craft kits for like hospices and prisons and all different things that they've created these craft kits for. And they basically within that pack is, do I hand over to you now, Lorraine? Is that the best thing to do? That within these packs are some wristbands. So I want to give you the gift of time this week, a prayer time where you can sit down and make this wristband for yourself. And we're gifting these to you. If you give to the church, you're paying for these for all of us to be able to have one. where we can sit down and we can put that over our wrists so we can be reminded physically on our wrist, pray first. Lorraine, let me hand over to you.
Hi there. So they're very, very simple, and you'll each be given a little pack, and it looks very fancy, but all that's in there is a round circle of cardboard with 8 slits in it and 7 strands of thread of different colours. And John is going to put the website, on the website, the YouTube video, but there's also a little slip in here that directs you to the YouTube video to see how to make them, but there are instructions in there as well. They're very, very simple. And once you start it, it's actually quite addictive. It's a real good mindfulness. It's a good thing to do anyway, just to calm yourself and to sit quietly. But yeah, they're all different colours. So I think the best thing is that we just maybe put them out and people can help themselves to a colour that they fancy. Yeah?
Yeah, that's the best way. Then you get the colour you want.
We are trying to get a more environmentally friendly packaging, so it has got plastic on it. But if you can just carefully take out what you need, and then you can give me back the packaging, and I can reuse that. It does say at the back that there's 2 in here. That's because we didn't have a lot of notice to get singles ready, so we still had the labelling for doubles. So it does say that there's 2 in there, but it's only 1.
Thank you for responding so quickly to my last-minute request for a larger volume of wristbands. So I'd encourage you, can you grab one of those? Maybe we'll pass them around now as they're going. Just grab one. I want to encourage you, this is going to give you an opportunity to sit down this week, create prayer as a priority. You've got to make some time to do this. And you've got a plan already that you've got in your thing, in your notes from today. Find a place where you can sit and do this with your family. Make it a prayer moment where you can just connect with God as you make this wristband. And then we put it on. And then for these 21 days, and I'd encourage you to keep it on beyond that, but 21 days where we'll have a wristband that reminds us, pray first. Pray first. Not as a last resort, as a first response. So spend time this week in prayer, connecting with God, who is Jesus, his amazing grace, who is the Father with his extravagant love, and is the Holy Spirit with his intimate friendship.